Now you've got me in the giggles. Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host Lily Mensibar, and joining me on the sofa today is the careers expert and network dynamo, Julian Childs. Welcome Julian, and thanks for stopping by for tea. You make a really, really good cup of tea, Julian.
Thanks, Lily. Good to know I've got a skill.
How are you?
I'm great. Tremendous.
Okay. Let's hear a bit about the brand name Julian Child, a startup advisor and co-founder of Social Impact Group and The Marketing Grid. He's coached over 2,500 international executives, that is 2,500, wow, business school MBAs and company directors to play to their strengths and to secure their next great role. Julian is exceptionally well-networked and whose Rolodex is certainly to die for. I would mug you for it, Julian. Julian builds rapport and trust and confidence very quickly, then motivates and supports clients to achieve their goals. He's recently received his Master's in Creative Leadership, and we are celebrating first with tea and hopefully with some champagne. Right, Julian?
Almost certainly. Yes.
Great.
Rude not to.
It would be so rude not to. Tea with Lily is a space for informal discussions with a relaxed format where we chat about topical issues over a cup of tea. Guests from all walks of life join me to share their experiences and provide tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs interested in career and personal growth. So, Mr. Julian Childs, from a career in financial services and now advising and coaching some of the best brains in the world. Looking at your portfolio and the work that you currently do, some will say you've really, really got it made. Has it always been so?
No, it hasn't. I have created a dream job. It is a portfolio, and it's taken many years to do that. I've enjoyed the journey on the way, but at times it's been very hard, very uphill. Mm-hmm. And what I'm lucky enough to do these days is to blend my background in marketing and sales with a working lifetime of building connections, and now helping the next generation really find their way in the world with a career that works for them and is fulfilling. So that draws on marketing and sales skills, and I seem to be effective.
Great. But when you say your marketing and sales skills, have you always worked in this area, or did you start your life in a different ways? Perhaps, I know you've mentioned things like your yuppie days. Can we touch on
that? My yuppie days. Who knows what a yuppie is these days? yes, of course. I graduated the first time 33 years ago. I had a degree in economics and didn't know what to do with it. And there was a recession going on. Mm. One of the few areas that was recruiting at the time was the insurance industry for salespeople. So okay. I became an insurance salesman, first and foremost. And after a year on a graduate training scheme, I sold pension schemes. Not the most exciting thing in the world to sell, but if you can sell that, I think you can sell most things. And because I was good with people, and they taught me the confidence to have the social confidence to sell, to be curious about people, to strike up rapport, I was actually quite good at it. Mm. I confused that with enjoying what I did. I used to earn very good money, but I wasn't entirely happy about doing it. And so I migrated after 4 or 5 years into financial services marketing.
Okay.
And that's where my yuppie days were. So I had a nice company car and I had an expense account, and I burnt the candle at both ends.
Okay. So, what sort of nice car? Can we have an example of what those cars
I don't think you'd see them around these days. It was an Audi Sport with a bookshelf.
The reluctant entrepreneur is what you once called yourself. Would you mind telling us about that particular period of your career and how that has shaped what you're doing today?
Yes, of course, be happy to. My yuppie days ended very suddenly and to me unexpectedly in 1991 with the redundancy caused by what was known as Black Wednesday. But essentially retail financial services, which was paying my big salary, stopped spending money on advertising, so I was made redundant. And I was given quite a big check to go away quickly and quietly, and I was able to squander that money backpacking. I spent 14 months away from the country, avoiding recession. This was the second recession in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back from my backpacking travels, I tried to get a job, but simply couldn't. I think I'd become too independent. Mm. I think I was clearly somebody who had enjoyed climbing mountains and lying on beaches, and that was a big risk to take if you were thinking about hiring someone at quite a senior level.
Mm-hmm.
So unemployed and fairly skint, I had to reinvent myself. And I thought the only thing that was different about me then than having been a successful employee was that I didn't have a brand to represent.
Mm.
So I figured that by that logic, if I created a brand and said, we do this and we do that,
yeah,
I'd soon create a business. And that's what came to be. I created a business called Mainly Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And that thrived. It was slow to take off. It took 2 years to take off. And then it grew quite substantially. And I ran that for 9 years. I merged that with a bigger company down in Brighton in 2001.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that was a disaster. They were on the skids and had concealed that fact from their my due diligence.
Mm.
I wasn't due diligent enough, clearly, and so I shouldn't have merged with them. I did. I lost my business, and they lost theirs. So that led to another chapter of my life where I did some jobbing consultancy, mostly around marketing. That's yeah. what I was known for, what I was comfortable doing, and it was very much easier than running a business.
Yeah.
But again, it didn't really resonate with me somehow. After a couple of years doing that, I wasn't really enjoying it, and so that's why I went on to sort of have a midlife crisis, question what I was going to do, and in the process accidentally became a career coach, which has led me to where I am today.
Now you've graduated, you've got your master's in creative leadership, and then, you know, straight into your third recession.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, it's a different story for you. I mean, some of us might be feeling slightly dazed by the whole global recession, upturn, downturn, whichever turn, depending on who is, you know, holding the mic. You seem to be going from strength to strength. What's the driving force behind that spring in your step when it comes to career management?
I think there's a couple of things here. My own career, I've completely enjoyed it, thoroughly enjoyed it overall. Mm. But there's been some low spots when I wasn't a good fit with what I was doing. Mm. And since 2006, when I discovered career coaching, I suddenly, for the first time in my life, so that's 8 years ago, found something that I just naturally loved to do and was seemingly good at. I work very hard, but I don't have to try very hard at it to get results.
Mm.
And that plus the strength of my network is what has kept me employed. So part of my answer is I found something that reflects my natural talents, I suppose. That's a nice thing to do. That's a nice situation to find oneself in. And I now want to help other people, particularly young people, find their true purpose
yeah.
without going through 20 years of pain first. That's my objective. The other aspect to mention here is that career coaching and redundancy counselling and all these related things, outplacement, they're contracyclical. So when things are tough in the economy and people are losing their jobs, strangely enough, that's when career coaches are most in demand.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the reasons for the spring in my step is I've got work queuing up at the door. And, you know, it's unfortunate for the individual clients when they're made redundant, but actually I'm very good at helping them to see that as a golden opportunity and quickly reinvent themselves.
But surely people are now thinking about career coaching whilst they're in jobs now. So it's changed slightly from what one, you know, outplacement to, okay, I'm in middle management, I want to move up the next level. Can someone help me or guide me?
Yes. The worst of the recession, the recent recession, was 2008. And I coached goodness knows how many senior bankers out of banks and into reinvention. Now, the UK is arguably in one of the strongest economies in Europe and mm-hmm. in a recovery situation. We hope that continues. And that gives people confidence to look around
yes.
and to contemplate moves, whereas before they were just keeping their heads down and their noses clean. They were not looking between 2008 and 2012, 13.
Mm.
So most of the work then was redundancy focused. Mm-hmm. Now it's career management focused.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right to pick that up.
Is there luck involved in any of this, or are you just very good at spotting the right thing for you?
I think luck comes into all sorts of things, but whilst I love good luck, I can't control bad luck. So I try to move away from luck as a concept and just try to have a rigorous, thorough process that works, that I know works, and I use that with my clients. I can't remember which golf, was it Gary Player said that the more he practiced, the luckier he got. There's certain truth in that. So I work hard. I've got a lot of opportunities on the go at any one time. Law of numbers means that some of those will come off and come good.
Yeah.
And people say, gosh, you're lucky.
Mm.
Well, what they're not seeing is the ones that didn't come off.
Yeah, you know? That's true. Thanks for that, Julian. The network dynamo is how your personal brand is perceived. How do you feel about that?
Part of me thinks it's utterly pretentious. It was me who coined the phrase. And that's my background in marketing and advertising, thinking of a headline. But actually, I don't go networking the way that some people cringe and, you know, go and have social drinks and canapes and make small talk with people they'd rather not be talking to. I just am sociable and curious about people. So yeah. I get into all kinds of wonderful conversations with all kinds of wonderful people. And out of that, I hear things that other people just don't hear if they don't have those conversations.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I do is to make links between people in one field to people in another field. I'll just confidently introduce them and say, hey, you guys need to talk because, and out of that stems opportunity. So this dynamo business is just my way of approaching life, but why not celebrate it? And by calling myself the networking dynamo, it singles me out as a peculiar brand of career coach.
And of course, the opportunity catalyst.
The opportunity catalyst, the other part of it. But it is astounding how often my suggestions come to fruition to the benefit of clients.
Yeah.
And so they start coming to me and talking about me and recommending me, this word of mouth recommendation, simply because of my ability to conjure opportunities. So I love it, but it may sound pretentious. I apologise if it does.
No, it's fine, I love it. Imagine, Julian, that you're sitting in front of a careers officer as a 16-year-old school leaver. What would you have said to that person that you wanted to be back in the day?
That I wanted to be? I think when I was 16, I was before the age of GCSEs. I did O-levels, and I was just very relieved to get my O-levels out of the way, and reasonably well. I did okay. At that stage, I think I wanted personally to be an architect until I studied that, or found, researched it. I found out that that would require another 6 or 7 years studying at university, and that just seemed like an eternity to a 16-year-old, so I didn't pursue that. I studied economics at university because I got a grade A at A-level in economics, but not for any concrete reason to be an economist. And actually, looking back, I've never used it. I know how to spell economics still, but I don't particularly use it on a day-to-day basis. Coming back to what I would say to a 16-year-old now is that you need to take responsibility for yourself.
Yes.
And that most of the popular jobs that exist today simply didn't exist by name or nature 10 years ago.
Mm.
They're determined by technology. So actually, dream big, dream individually, and just work at making it come true, and it will happen.
That's great. That's really good advice, Julian. Thank you. I will certainly pass that on to my 16-year-old, who certainly doesn't have an idea what he wants to be. This is Tea with Lily, and joining me on the sofa today is a networking dynamo and careers expert, Julian Childs. What Julian doesn't know about career management is probably not worth knowing, because he's been several things, such as an employee, an employer, an entrepreneur, a jobbing consultant, with a career spanning over 20 years. He is absolutely passionate about helping other people find the gig of their dreams. Now, Julian, let's look at the career management itself. When it comes to that, you seem to have a knack of helping people find their mojo, if I might use that word, and landing that gig of their dreams. Can we hear how you do this?
Oh, that's very flattering to hear that that's what I'm known for. But I think that most people find their first job or couple of jobs by accident. They just fall into that. They don't give it a huge amount of thought. John Lees, who's a famous careers author, he said that most people give more thought to their planning their next year's holiday than they do to their entire career, which is a shocking thought. Anyway, what I do is to ask people searching questions, and I watch very carefully for their reactions. You can always see when someone's energetic in their reply.
Yes.
Well, as soon as their eyes start to sparkle, they start to laugh, their body language goes into free flow, then you know you're on to what is something that they are interested in. And then I get talking to them about that, and I make some suggestions to make them realise that they don't have to do a job that is prescribed by society or somebody else, that they could in fact find an income stream around what they are just simply happy with or fascinated about. So that's the bit about finding their mojo. I just encourage them to think more familiarly and less boringly about the world of work. From there, I network people to each other. I encourage them to realise that even within their own field or sphere, at any stage of life, they know many more people who could be useful to them than they perhaps realised.
Okay.
And so I just teach them techniques to go and tap into that resource.
You have a particular structure in terms of career coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You have like three circles. Can you describe that for us?
My three circles?
Well, we've talked about this offline, and I just wanted to bring it into the interview. Okay. Where find, you know, what you're good at, what you're passionate about, and find someone else to pay you for it.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about it. It's not my idea. I have harnessed it, but and I forget who did create the three circles. But essentially, it's Venn diagrams, if you remember your maths at school. So it's where circles overlap. So we have three interlinking circles, two circles interlinking. The first circle is your CV. It is your background, your experience, your skills, your talents, and your qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
All the facts about you, plus the geography of where you are. They describe what you might be able to do in terms of competence for a job. The second circle overlaying that is the idea of what makes you a particular, unique individual. So what are your values? What are your interests? What motivates you? What excites you? What are your ambitions? What are your responsibilities? That can be a huge driver. What is your culture? By that I mean, who do you like to hang out with? What sort of people do you bounce well off?
Yeah.
So if you overlay information, soft information about yourself over the hard information of your prior history, your CV, where those overlap, i.e. stuff that you're qualified to do and also want to do, that's a very exciting and energising place to go looking for work. It's not defining a job, it's simply defining areas where you might research.
Right.
And the third circle, which overlays both of those circles and creates a dense area in the middle where all three circles come together, the third circle is your fit with the employment market. So that might be an employer who's prepared to pay you, or if you're going to be self-employed, it might be a self-employed client, a client or clients or customers who want to pay you to do what you want to do.
Right.
Now, obviously, that has to be sustainable. So there are certain industries at any time that you wouldn't approach because they're dying industries. So in the UK, coal mining is not a great industry to go into. The print industry is being replaced by digital. All sorts of things like that render some industries redundant from your research. And then they've got to be a very good fit in terms of the corporate culture of the organisation. Does it fit with you? I've worked in companies and organisations which really valued me, and I felt very happy to be there because we seem to see life the same way. And I've worked in other places where they made my life miserable. And it was because their values as an institution were not the same as my own.
Yeah.
And the difference that can make to your how you get out of bed in the morning is fantastic.
Yeah.
So think hard about the kind of culture and environment and industry that can allow you to thrive.
Yeah.
And where that overlays with what you want to do and are qualified to do, that is where you'll find your dream job.
Great. Okay. So the three circles. Now, we will have some testimonials later, but in the meantime, what's the profile of your typical client?
It's become increasingly wide-ranging, and I have two very distinct markets, I think. I learnt my craft of career coaching in the world of outplacement, so mm-hmm. I have a huge prior address book from coaching hundreds and hundreds of very senior executives in all sorts of disciplines.
Mm.
But within that, because I had personally run a marketing and advertising agency, I'm quite credible talking about marketing and advertising to senior marketers.
Yes.
So they relax with me. Mm. They recommend me to each other. So I have quite a thriving private practice in senior executives, particularly in the field of marketing.
Okay.
The other main part of my portfolio is a very enjoyable salaried position at Regent's University. That's the beautiful private university in Regent's Park in London, which is essentially a finishing school for some of the brightest international young people on the planet. So the world comes to my door. I don't, you know, it's a wonderful situation there. So that's the next generation. These people are aged between, generally by the time I see them, they're between 22 and 35, mostly.
Okay,
and they might be postgraduates. They're nearly always multilingual, cosmopolitan, very well travelled, very ambitious, inexperienced in life, and therefore not tarnished by disappointment.
Okay.
So that's a lovely, you know, raw material client to work with. Anything's possible. They challenge me because they're next generation. They understand new technology in a way that I simply can't. But they push and push and push. And the beauty of my job is really to take those people and manage their expectations and channel them. And then I use my older network of people to assist the next generation.
Fantastic.
And actually, it's very reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the older people like the challenge of youngsters and like to, you know, the legacy of leaving something for the next generation. And the younger people can only be impressed by senior success stories.
Yes, yes.
And I can get them access to those people in a way that very few career coaches can.
So it's a bit of, you know, like dating, I guess.
I don't call it that, but I must be very careful not to date my clients. But
No, you're not dating a client, but having a dating agency, perhaps.
It's matchmaking. Yes, it's intelligent introductions.
Mm.
You know, if I introduced you to somebody and you really couldn't understand the relevance, you would actually think in your mind, even if you were too polite to say it, Julian is wasting my time with these introductions.
Yes.
On the other hand, if I introduce you to people who have a clear synergy with the area of work that you want to explore, and they themselves have a very developed network which they start to share with you because they can see and they appreciate your enthusiasm and courtesy, then everyone's a winner.
Yes, and I think there's also something called reverse mentoring as well, where the older generation are actually looking for younger people to help them understand this new way of, you know, working and thinking around the around technology, for instance.
That's absolutely true. And it's how I managed to look so young, mixing with young, beautiful people all day.
Oh, listeners, he looks absolutely gorgeous today.
Fishing for compliments.
Julian, they say choose a job you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. Do you think this is true in principle?
Yes, in an interpretive way, yes it is. The idea is that if you love what you do, you don't wait for the clock to reach five so that you can go home again. You know? Going to work is not a chore, it's an exciting adventure. I'm lucky that I feel that most days about my work. And so, yes, I don't consider work a curse.
Mm.
I think a lot of people who are not happy in their jobs can't wait to go home.
Yes.
And you know, they dread. And what an awful way to go through life like that. So you'll never have to work a day in your life. That's a nice saying. I think that anybody should really look for something that... if you could be happy... This concept actually comes again from John Lees. I've mentioned him earlier. But he says, if you can find a job that keeps you happy and fulfilled 3.5 days a week out of five, 3.5 days out of a working week, That's 70% of the time. And if you could be happy 70% of your working life, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it? So
okay.
He uses that as a benchmark. And basically, when you're career coaching people, you encourage them to look for at least 70% match with
right.
their personality mm. and ambitions for every opportunity, and discourage them from going after anything that isn't at least 70% good match before they start. That way they won't spend or waste time looking in the wrong direction.
Okay. An example, how would you help someone who has found the ideal job, yet to them it still feels like work? The type that doesn't know they have it made and they keep wanting more. There are people like that.
There are. And how would I help someone? Well, very often they don't come looking for help.
Mm.
No, it would be my observation that they're not entirely happy, and yet to an outsider they should be.
Mm.
Do they want to hear that? Probably not. If I'm in a position to introduce that thought to them, I generally work on gratitude. I encourage them to look for areas of their life that they feel particularly grateful for.
Mm.
I'm not saying who they should feel grateful to, but I'm simply saying that when you go through life appreciative of what you've got,
yes.
actually it takes away a lot of the empty yearning
mm.
for what you haven't got. The focus shifts to what you have got from what you haven't got.
Mm.
So I suppose that might answer your question. I think for many people they become wedded to salaries, and
mm.
I think that's so awful, particularly big salaries.
Yes.
You start to confuse in your ego your being worth that big salary with your value for that salary.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a trap. That's a trap.
And I'm sure you meet many people who perhaps were in that trap and are looking for something different.
I do. Age often comes with that.
Mm.
People become more reflective as they get older. They start to realise that what they thought would make them happy hasn't made them as happy as they hoped it would. So they look for different satisfactions
mm-hmm.
around fulfilment. It might be around legacy. It might be around contribution to society, charity work, voluntary work, encouraging the next generation, all sorts of things.
Okay. That's great. Now, Mr. Julian, you certainly network for England, and if there was a worldwide competition, you'd be a great contender. So let's talk about the importance and the value of networking.
Oh my goodness. Well, I've already said a few minutes ago that I don't go networking as a distinct activity.
Mm.
I just spend my life enjoying conversations with new people. And old people as well. I stay in touch with people. But I think that the concept, the word networking, can put a lot of people off
yes.
from a very enjoyable and fruitful thing. All it is about building and maintaining friendships with interesting people and going out of your way to help them, whether or not you want anything back.
Yes.
If your energy is to give, to contribute, to help, to assist, support people, then very strangely reciprocation kicks in. They feel an obligation to help you back.
Mm.
So doing something for others without asking for a reward is actually a very rewarding exercise. Now, I haven't in that explanation used the word networking once, but that is all it is.
Mm.
It's just finding ways to help other people by finding out about them, asking more questions, and talking less about yourself.
Okay. So, Julian, the days of job for life and the gold watch at the end of service is long gone. How do you get some sort of job security these days? What can you do to solidify things that you're doing?
My dear and long deceased father, God rest him, he died 16, 17 years ago. He worked for Shell, the oil company, internationally. He worked for Shell for, I think, 33 years. He made one job decision, career decision. He joined Shell.
That was it.
And, you know, he was obviously good at what he did and they liked him. But generally, everything happened on a conveyor belt after that. And he emerged with a nice package of retirement benefits at the age of 56. So that's how I thought life was when I graduated back in 1981, I was very surprised 10 years later to have been through three jobs already. So the world had moved on and I hadn't expected that. The young people I'm coaching today, these people of 23, 24, they must expect to reinvent themselves every 2 years.
Every 2 years?
It's quite extraordinary. But if you're not thinking about your evolving value in the marketplace, you're going to be dead in the water. It's just, you just fall behind so quickly. Mm. Now, in order to be resilient, in order to anticipate what might be coming and to prepare yourself to be ready for it and available for it, actually it changes how you view your career.
Yeah.
It makes you very self-aware and self-promoting.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the qualities of entrepreneurs, really. So the days of a life of golden watches, yes, that's over. How do you get job security these days? By being your best self continually.
Every day.
And just going out there to serve and impress people.
Mm.
And if you do that satisfactorily, they will come to you. I have not had to look for work for 20 years, and that is because my networking and my approach work.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to go through the horror of applying for jobs. You know, it just doesn't happen to me. I've got people who come to me with new opportunities all the time.
Yeah, yeah. You're very blessed, Mr. Julian. This is Tea with Lily, and joining me on the sofa is networking dynamo and careers expert Julian Childs. What Julian doesn't know about career management is probably not worth knowing, because he's been many things, including an employee, an employer, entrepreneur, jobbing consultant, and with a career spanning well over 20 years. He's absolutely passionate about helping others find the gig of their dreams. Now, we're going to wrap up now, and I have a few more questions, Julian. There's no doubt that networking and career management go hand in hand, and you help clients get the balance right. Some people just go cold at the thought of networking and talking to strangers. I used to have one of those afflictions. How would you help somebody like me get more comfortable in going around and doing the networking thing to help them with their jobs?
Oh, goodness. I do this all the time, but I don't think of it as a specific activity. I find when I'm talking to individuals who are suffering with this, it's actually a lack of confidence, a lack of self-belief, but I try to get them talking about things that they are naturally enthusiastic about. You can't hide or feign enthusiasm.
Yes.
No, it's just there or it isn't. So in talking to anybody, when they get enthusiastic, you know that's an important subject for them. And what you want to encourage them to understand is that they can recreate that same feeling and energy by doing a technique, by following a technique.
Right.
Now, if we call it networking, then they immediately freeze. And they think, oh, I'm not a networker, I'm not confident enough, I'm not sociable, you know, I'm just a lonely wallflower or whatever, I can't do this. Well, don't call it networking then.
Hmm.
In another book by Stuart and Gail Lindenfield, they call it 101 cappuccinos. The idea of going out and having lots of cups of coffee, or in your case, Lily, cups of tea with Lily. But that's just a perfectly pleasant, human, natural thing to do.
Yes.
And the conversations that ensue around that are actually networking conversations.
Mm, mm.
So stop calling it networking is the quick answer.
We have to find another word for it, though.
101 cappuccinos is a better term. But
101 cappuccinos.
Just keep going. But actually, just enjoy being with other people.
Mm.
And know that what you are offering them by way of experience, advice, questions, confidence build, you building other people's confidence will be valued and will be reciprocated. It will work for you.
Okay, thank you. Now, let's talk about somebody who, you know, from an employee to an entrepreneur after redundancy. Julian, you and I have both been there. What would you say to someone who's got a great package to leave? They've hated their boss for years and now feel they can fly solo with all that cash. And how would you advise somebody like that who came to you?
I would encourage them, but I would also encourage them to be cautious.
Okay.
Um, the mentality of somebody who has been an employee for a long time is actually quite a dependent mentality. They're used to having opportunities brought to them, and they are not used to paying for the cost of mistakes. Their employer picks up that cost. So if you are not alive to that when you go into self-employment, it will come as a scary shock to the system that suddenly the buck stops with you. You are responsible for everything that goes wrong. You are also, you have to be self-sufficient when things don't go right. There can be delays in orders coming through. There can be delays in payment even though you've done a perfect job. And you've got to understand that's not the world being nasty or cruel or unkind to you. It's just the way the world is when there isn't the cushion of an employer in the way.
So if you were to see somebody who's got that cash, wants to do something, and you can tell from your experience that person may not actually make it.
Well, what I would do with them is to encourage them to go and work part-time for somebody or volunteer to learn in an established business elsewhere, to just go along as a part-time, low-cost experience gatherer whilst working for someone else. And while they're doing that, they can see the good and bad, you know, the warts and all experience of what it's like to run a business in that field. If they still, at the end of that, want to run their own business, at least they're going in with their eyes open. They know how it works. And that's part of the solution to success. It's not all of it, but it's a good part.
That tenacity and that killer instinct. Julian, most of us support charities often for personal reasons. Which charities do you support and why?
I support charities financially. They include the National Trust, World Vision. I sponsor a child in India. I am very into grassroots entrepreneurship in Africa and third world countries. There's a wonderful charity I'm involved with at the moment called Grow Movement, which provides consultants to third world entrepreneurs from business school communities in the UK. There's no money changing hands. The coaching happens over Skype. It is hugely effective.
Great. I looked at, for some testimonials, and I'm going to read one now from John Leese, who's a career coach and strategist. Julian is not only a first-class career coach, he's a living, breathing model of how to brand, present and network yourself. He does so with an admirable mix of intelligence, creativity and charm. That word charm actually comes up a lot on your LinkedIn, Julian. Julian is also worth getting to know for his very distinct expertise in using LinkedIn as a promotional tool. He delivers knockout seminars on the topic.
How very nice of John to say that.
Yes.
John isn't just a career coach. He's the top careers author in the UK, and he's got more books to his name than anybody. 9 or 10 books now.
Okay.
And he's often on the media, in the media himself,
talking about stuff. So, well, that's good.
I do a lot of work with him, and I'm his man in London, basically.
Oh, great. Well, there you go. How can our listeners connect with you if they want further information about their careers or starting a new venture or a side hustle?
Well, by all means, get in touch. I'll help you if I can. I mean, it is my living, so I might charge you after an initial no-obligation conversation, but that's for you to decide. Email me. Julian.Childs, that's Child with an S on the end, at gmail.com, julian.childs@gmail.com. My mobile phone is 07973-258-721. I have several business interests and several websites, so I won't go through all of those now, but if you want to find out about me personally, look me up, Julian Childs, on linkedin.com, and there's quite a lot of information there. My number and Gmail address are also in my summary on that.
Okay.
So do get in touch if you'd like to.
Thank you. Are there any more tips and suggestions for our listeners? Three things that come to mind.
Three things. Goodness. I want another cup of tea. That's number one. So yes, drink more tea.
Drink more tea.
Drink more tea always helps. Have more conversations.
Yes.
And don't hide behind emails when you could get out and see people, yes, or when you could pick up the telephone and talk to people. The more familiar you are with people in your communication style, the better. And the corollary of that is that if you are spending daylight weekday hours, working hours, online looking for things, you're wasting valuable contact time.
Right.
So before the working day starts, after the working day finishes, and at weekends, that's when you research people online and set up meetings, mm-hmm, but use your working day to get out, pressing the flesh, squeezing the flesh,
okay,
and meeting people.
Meeting people, use the phone. Use the phone instead of email, and better still, go and meet people and, yes, touch them and all that. That's great.
Don't hide behind email.
Yes.
And know that you can find the drop of your dreams. It may take time. It may be a gradual experiment, but mm-hmm, you will get closer and closer to it. And then one day you'll realise that you love what you do.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful feeling, so go for it.
Oh, Julian, I am intrigued. I'm excited about the fact that you have found the job of your dreams. And you do, offline we've had our conversations, but you speak very fondly of the opportunities that come to you, the types of people that you get to meet that you wouldn't normally get to meet. And the people that I have heard talk about you have been really, really kind and said that you're great, you're charming, you're wonderful. And you certainly do connect them also with people that they wouldn't normally be connected with. So you're obviously doing something great here, and probably something good for society overall.
I hope so. Thank you for those kind words.
It's true, because Julian, I've known you for over 10 years, and I know that to be true. So it's not something that I'm saying because you've paid me or you've bought me a cup of tea. Now, I'm glad I got the first interview after your results, and I'm ready for that glass of bubbly.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for your time and for sharing your tips and tricks, and so selflessly. So I hope you come back again and have tea with me and give us the latest news in career management space. I'm your host, Lily Mensah-Yabor, and until next time, keep smiling and always, always walk good. Julian Childs, thank you very much.
Thanks, Lily. Great fun.